Well, good morning, everyone. Morning again. Great to keep your Bibles opened. And we're going to work our way through that part of Matthew this morning, our last one in this series. Let me pray first, and then we'll get into it. Well, Father, thank you for your word to us. And we thank you for all that we've seen in the book of Matthew. Help us now to hear these words and not just be hearers of the word, but also to be doers of the word. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've had the joy of meeting Jasmine and Hayden. Let me tell you a bit more about them. There's Jasmine. She's in year nine. And, you know, even though she's navigating adolescence and every day at school, she's surrounded by non-Christians, she's still on fire for God. We've heard that this morning. How good. Every week, she looks forward to coming to youth group, learning from the Bible, asking big questions of her leaders. She loves Jesus. She wants to serve him. She's even going to start leading our kids' club. And then we've got our brother Hayden. He's in year eight. He's had some battles through life already, but he never fails to turn up to church and youth group. He loves hanging out with the other junior boys. And, you know, despite his young age, he's got some great insights into God's word. You should just ask him sometime. And he's got a friend that he keeps on inviting to youth group. And every time Hayden tries to invite this other guy, he makes up a different excuse. But you know what? That has not stopped Hayden from inviting him. Both Hayden and Jasmine, they got baptized today. They've stood here. They've declared that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, committed their lives to following him. And I wonder, if you had to give them some advice, what would you say to them about what's ahead? What would you tell them it's like to live as a Christian in your 20s or 40s or 60s or 80s? As they're confronted with all that life has ahead for them, would you tell them that following Jesus is worth it? Well, in today's passage, Jesus speaks to his disciples, his young friends who are just starting out on their journey of following him. And as he does, he gives them a pretty harsh reality check about what's ahead, as well as some comforting words of assurance. And through it all, he wants them to know that it's all worth it, that he is worth it. And that's going to be a valuable lesson for us to hear too, isn't it? That no matter how long you've been a Christian, following Jesus is worth it, sticking with him. Let's see how, as we unpack these verses together. Today's passage, it revolves around Jesus repeating the phrase, "Do not." He says to the 12 disciples, he says, "I'm sending you out among the wolves, but do not worry, do not be afraid, and do not misunderstand." So let's pick it up with Jesus' opening statement. It's there in verse 16. He says, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves." And this opening line, it acts as a bit of a kind of umbrella phrase that triggers the rest of what he has to say. As Jesus sends his disciples out to the lost sheep of Israel, he warns them that some of these sheep are going to be more like wolves, that they're going to stand in opposition to the good news of the kingdom. And that's because this message that Jesus is the Messiah, it's a difficult one to digest. Some people might believe it, but plenty won't. You might remember in last week's passage, Jesus had compassion on the crowd, and so to set this whole speech up, he was moved to commission the 12 to go out. And they were to go to Israel with urgency, with the miracles and message of God's kingdom. Well, today's section, it's carrying directly on from that. And he's telling them to be wary because things are going to get pretty bad. Verse 17, he says, "Be on your guard. You'll be handed over to local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles." The disciples, they need to brace themselves for persecution. not just on this trip, but for the rest of their lives as they spread the news of the kingdom. And you can read all about that through the book of Acts. And it's all because of Jesus. On my account, he says, all the suffering they're about to face will be because of the message they're preaching about Jesus' kingdom. Well, so far, that doesn't really sound like something I want to sign up for. Which is why Jesus wants to give them some assurance that it's all worth it in the end. Which brings us to the first of our do not statements. He says, do not worry. That's verse 19. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus tells them not to worry when they're under pressure or when they get hauled in front of authorities. Why? Because God's Spirit will give them the words to say. They can know that the Father will be speaking through them. So they need not worry. Even when the message starts to cause a real mess, or when families are even turning on each other. That's verse 21. He says, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. That all sounds pretty horrible, doesn't it? What's going to create this kind of violence? Well, it comes back to this message of the new kingdom and the implications of it. Remember, so far in Matthew, we've seen Jesus had been saying that God's now welcoming in all people. Sinners, tax collectors, the unclean, Samaritans, even Gentiles. And to some Israelite families, that would have been impossible to accept. For centuries, if you wanted to be one of God's chosen people, you had to be an Israelite. And so for Jesus to say that now anyone could enter the kingdom, well, that was going against what they knew and what they had believed. To accept that would be like denying their family history. So you can imagine that might rip families apart. He sums it up in verse 22. He says, you will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The cause of all this hate is Jesus. His message, his way, his claim to be the Messiah. The fact that he's there to disrupt the status quo. He's going to make these disciples some of the most hated men in all of Israel. And so what might have sounded like a bit of a glamorous mission to start with, you know, last week, I'm sending you out with authority and power to do miracles. It turns out to be a pretty scary journey in coming their way. Perhaps a little bit like when the soldiers were sent off to World War I. Many of them thought that it would just be for a few weeks. They thought they were going on an adventure. You know, to go and defeat the baddies and come back as heroes. But of course it turned out to be far more terrifying. These disciples, they're heading into something far worse than they realize. And Jesus tells them to endure, to stick with him. And here's our first clue that following Jesus really is worth it. The one who stands firm, he says, will be saved. The reward for persevering through the pain is actually salvation. And so the road ahead will be tough. But what's true for the master will be true for the servant, he says in verse 24. If the disciples are going to choose to follow Jesus, who becomes a crucified king, well, then they're going to have to suffer the same things that he has. But in preparing them for this, Jesus says, don't worry. And secondly, he says, do not be afraid. It's there in verse 26. He says, so do not be afraid of them, for there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. The 12 can go out fearlessly proclaiming the message Jesus has given them, because it's all going to come out in the end anyway. The good news of the kingdom, it's going to get out. You can't thwart God's plan. And so this is where it starts, first to Israel, then to the whole world. And Jesus, he's read the book of human history. And he wants them to know that even though this chapter might look like it's going badly, in the end, the wolves don't win. They won't be able to stop the message. Now, in our house, we're slowly introducing Talitha to some of the old Disney classics. Recently, she watched The Little Mermaid for the first time. And of course, when the villain Ursula appears, she's pretty nasty, and it looks like she's going to win and everything is doomed. And when Talitha gets scared and closes her eyes, Jess says to her, "It's okay, darling. The goodies win in the end." Jesus is telling his disciples that the goodies win in the end. And so while there might be moments of discomfort, they don't need to be scared of those people who want to hurt them, but instead should bravely go out and proclaim this message to every town. And actually, he continues by saying, well, if they're going to fear anyone, let it be the one who decides your eternal destination. Verse 27, he says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." These persecutors are not to be feared. The worst they can do is hurt the body. They have no lasting power. But the eternal, all-knowing, creator God of the universe, he's got power, all right. And so when you pick a side, choose the one who is most powerful and who has the final say over our very souls. And here's another reason why being on Jesus' side, it's worth it. He's the one who holds all the power. Nothing happens outside of God's control. Which is actually good news for those who are in his sovereign care. It's the very next thing Jesus says. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Yes, God can send people to hell, but he does not want to. He loves us. And Jesus tells his friends that they don't have any reason to fear because they have a kind heavenly Father who cares for them, who knows them, and who watches over them. And so when the disciples go out and share the gospel and are met with trouble, because they will be, well, they can know God's still in control. And nothing takes him by surprise. They don't have to be afraid. And of course, that's still true for us today. That our Heavenly Father, he knows us and he loves us. And so when we walk through life with all its ups and downs, when we fear for our mind or our bodies, when sharing our faith seems scary, when we feel alone as a Christian, God sees it all. And nothing is outside of his care and control. So we don't need to worry. We too can bravely talk about Jesus. And then, well, how people respond to him, that's up to them. But the implications of that choice are very clear. Verse 32. He says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. How people treat Jesus does matter. Those who reject the disciples' message in this life will be rejected by the Father in the next. Simply, you either trust in Jesus and get to heaven, or you don't. And so once again, it's Jesus at the center, the one who is creating this profound polarization. Which brings us to the third comforting word of what Jesus says not to do. He says, do not worry, do not be afraid, and thirdly, do not misunderstand. And this one is perhaps the most surprising of all three, because Jesus wants his disciples to realize something important. Verse 34, he says, do not suppose I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus is saying that this division that's going to get created through Israel, it's not surprising. It was always going to happen when the Messiah appeared. He even goes on to quote the Old Testament prophet Micah to prove it, saying this was always going to happen. All the division, even among families. Well, all of that actually just works to show how much of a big deal Jesus really is. I mean, just think about it. Families don't tend to fight and divide based off trivial matters like what's for dinner or whose turn it is to do the laundry. For something to break up all the history and love of family ties, to have big and lasting consequences, it's got to be something important enough that people are willing to stand their ground. It's going to be things like marrying the love of your life even if your parents don't like them, or taking a vaccination that might save lives even if your brother thinks it's a conspiracy. Like trusting that Jesus is the only way to God, not our good works or the fact that you're a Jew. Following Jesus, it divides people, and that means that he's someone important. The kind of family infighting he's talking about is actually just proof that Jesus is this promised King and Savior. And so as people are confronted with Jesus, they're forced to declare their allegiances or not. Verse 37, he says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Don't be confused. The message of the kingdom that Jesus is sending these disciples out to preach, it's a costly one. It calls for your entire life. It calls for Jesus to be an all-consuming love, to be more important than anything or anyone else. But you know, anyone who does give up their life for him, he promises that's where you're going to find life. Verse 39, he says, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And again, it's a word of comfort to these disciples. All this division they'll witness, the conflict they'll experience, it's all worth it because Jesus is the one who can grant us life. Life now, living in harmony with our Creator, the way we were made to live, under the loving care of our Heavenly Father, free in the forgiveness that comes through Christ. And life forever. The promise of eternal paradise in perfect relationship with God and his people. And you know, that's the reward he's speaking of in those closing verses of the chapter. Anyone who welcomed Jesus and listened to the message of his disciples, well, they would be the ones to receive this reward of life in him. Which is what Jesus wants his disciples to hang on to as they go out as sheep among wolves. They don't need to worry about what to say. They don't need to be afraid of people who want to hurt them. And they need to not misunderstand why Jesus came. That despite all the persecution and division that will come because of him, their message is actually good news. Because Jesus is the Messiah. And following him is the way to find salvation and life. Following Jesus is worth it. And isn't that important for us to remember too? Because Jesus Christ, he's often hard for people to digest in our world too. His call for ultimate allegiance, his demand for full obedience, his claim as the only way to God. Back then for Israel and even for us now, Jesus remains a polarizing person. Some people, they're going to love you when you share the hope of the gospel with them. But others are going to hate you for it. Some people are going to have all kinds of questions and want to know more when you start talking about the Bible. But others may never talk to you again. Some people, they're going to happily accept an invitation to Christianity Explored and come every week and want to come back again. But others are going to be offended you even ask. Some people are going to keep on being your friend when you share your faith with them, but others will cut you off because of it. Some people are going to say they're apathetic, they don't mind, but by not choosing a side, they've failed to acknowledge Jesus, and that is choosing a side. Because that's what Jesus does. He came with a sword to split people into two camps. The ones who receive him and the ones who don't. And the stakes for all this are eternal. And so, no matter what, however people treat you, please don't ever turn your back on Jesus. He wants us to stick with him. Remember verse 22? He said, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. For all the ups and downs, joy and sorrow, persecution and division, following Jesus, yeah, it's absolutely worth it. Because if you keep trusting him, you'll be saved. Stick with him, that's where you find life. I reckon this is the kind of thing we might want to say to young people like Hayden and Jasmine. Isn't it? And it's something we all want to remember, that following Jesus is worth it. Let's pray. Well, Father, thank you so much for these words of assurance to us. May we trust ourselves and our very souls into your hand as our kind Heavenly Father. And may you, by your Spirit, enable us to stand firm to the end so that we will be saved. Amen.